All right, Pastor, I want to thank you for the opportunity to preach again. It's good to be back in Indianapolis. It's not really much different than Oklahoma City. It's cold there, just like it is here. Well, it's not really cold right now, but it gets cold there. And it's just good to be back at my home church. I'm thankful that a lot of my family can be here tonight to hear me preach. So if you guys have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 35. And we'll jump right into this. Just give you a little background as to what's going on here in Genesis chapter 35. In the chapter before that, in Genesis 34, it's the story where Hamor, he is when Dinah goes out to see the daughters of the land, and Hamor sees her, and he goes, and he desires to be with her, so he takes her, and he defiles her, and then. He falls in love with her, and then he comes to Jacob with his father, and he basically asks if he can have if he can take Dinah as his wife. And all through this time, Dinah's brothers Simeon and Levi, they are planning this attack on him because they are angry that they defiled their sister, which that is righteous indignation there. But what they were about to do was not so well. They plan this attack. They tell all the household of Hamor, basically, if you become circumcised, you can take our sister as your wife. And so they agree to that because Hamor, he has fallen in love with her. He agrees to that. So he takes his whole household, and they are circumcised. And it says here in verse 25, it says, "And it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore, that the two sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, and Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword and came unto the city boldly and slew all the males." So this was a great sin of deceit. They did not know that they would be killed. They ransacked the city. It says and the sons of Jacob came upon the slain and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister, and they took their sheep and their oxen and their asses, that which was in the city, and that which was in the field, and all their wealth, and all their little ones, and their wives took they captive, and spoiled even all that was in the house. So that brings us to chapter 35. If you guys would stand for the reading of God's word, we'll jump into our text tonight. In verse 1 it says, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that had appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob." And we'll jump down to verse 9. And it says, "God appeared unto Jacob again when he had come out of Padanaram and blessed him. And God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be out of thee. And kings shall come out of thy loins, and the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee I will give the land." All right, let's pray, and then we'll get into the message. Dear Lord, we love you. Thank you for the day. Thank you for this service, Lord. We can come to your house, Lord, and just hear your word, Lord, hear music. And Lord, just ultimately give praise to you. God, I pray that you would just be with me now, Lord, as I communicate what your word says. Lord, I pray that you just give me peace, Lord, and just clarity of thought, Lord, and give me liberty. Lord, just empty me of myself, Lord, and just help these people here to see you through me. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the occasion for the return to Bethel is very obvious. The household of Jacob had been in sin. They had committed sins of deceit. They had committed sins of theft. They committed sins of murder. They murdered all the males of the house of Hamor. And God said unto Jacob, "Arise, and go up to Bethel." And this was originally where Jacob should have been dwelling in the first place. If Jacob had been where God had told him to be, none of this would have happened. So God calls Jacob to go to Bethel. And Jacob, he does that. He answers the call and he goes to Bethel. And the word Bethel means house of God. That's what that translates to. And that's where God would have been dwelling. And that's where God wanted to fellowship with Jacob. Jacob and his family were in a land that they had no business being in. They should have been dwelling in Bethel. They were far from God and living in a way that was not pleasing to them. If they jumped straight to the sins of murder and deceit, they had no doubt been living in sin before that. And Jacob answered that call as he should have, and he came back to the house of Bethel to fellowship with God, the one who wanted fellowship with him, the one that desires all of our fellowship here tonight. God designed us so that we could fellowship with him and not live for ourselves. So we see that in there in verse number 2. It says, "Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you." And idolatry, no doubt, would have been a big sin. And the people of the land there at Shechem, they were not worshiping God. And there's something inside all of us that tells us that we need to worship something, because God put that in us, because we need to search after him. They no doubt would have been worshiping idols. And since the household of Jacob was dwelling in the land with him, they were worshiping those idols as well. They were giving their tithes and their offerings and stuff to these false gods that the people in Shechem were following. And it says, Jacob commands those that are with him to put away the strange gods that they had been serving. There cannot be anything that is more important to us than our fellowship with God. And they did just that. It says there in verse 4, it says, "They gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem." They gave up those idols. There are many things in our lives that we put before our communion with God. Just to name a few, there's TV, there's our phones. I know I struggle a lot with my phone. That's one thing that really gets into the way of my prayer and my Bible reading time. Sometimes I wish I could just throw it away, but I need it for certain things. I really wish I could get out of that habit. But we need to put away the idols that are in our lives. I don't know what your guys' idols might be, things that you put in the way. But we need to do as the household of Jacob did here. Jacob commands them from God. He gets a commandment from God. And they put away their idols, and they come back to Bethel, where they ought to be, to fellowship with God. And then another thing that we see is their cleansing and repentance. After they give away the strange gods, and it says there in verse 2 in the latter part, it says, "And be clean." This is basically saying that they repented of their sins by giving God all their idols, and then they asked for forgiveness. That's what the cleansing is there. They receive grace for their sins, and they are cleansed from their sins so that they can come into fellowship with God. We are commanded to be a holy people. We as Christians are to be upright and sincere about how we live our lives. We ought to show others that we are Christians by the way we live, but it's not just enough to live right. We see that all throughout the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus saying that the problem starts in the heart, and if our heart is right, we will live right. Because our heart is right. When he mentions the sin of murder, he says it goes deeper than that. If you hate your brother, then you've already committed the sin of murder already. So we need to be cleansed from our sins before we can come into fellowship with God. And then we see there in the last part of that, and it says, "And change your garments." We see that they not only ask for forgiveness of their sins, but they change their garments. They did a complete turn in the way that they were living. They came back to the house of God, and they changed their garments. They changed the way they looked. They changed the way they acted, just so they could fellowship with God. Amen. And this, we always hear that we see pictures of Christ in the Old Testament all the time. And this story here is a picture of Christ. These people are dwelling in a land that is far away from God, and God is calling them. God's telling them to come back to me. And that's what God does to us before we are saved. We're lost out in a land where we ought not be, living in sin, and God is calling us, telling us to come back to Him and ask for forgiveness for our sins, and we come into fellowship with God. That's what salvation is. So this story is no doubt a picture of Christ. We see God calling them to Himself, repentance, and then a new way of living. Then we are able to receive the blessings of God, just like Jacob was. And that's where we skip down to verse 9. We can read that again. It says, God appeared unto Jacob again, and when he came out of Padan Aram, and blessed him. We see from the beginning, Jacob is out in a far land where he ought not to be. They give up their idols. They ask for forgiveness. They change the way they're living. And then we see God, he gives them the blessings. He restores the blessings that he intended for Jacob to have in the first place. These promises were no light thing in the days of Jacob. The promises of a continuing seed would have been a great blessing to Jacob. God gave this promise to Abraham and Isaac and all of them that he would bless their seed and give them nations and kings. We can read there. And God, in verse 11, it says, And God said unto them, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee, I will give it. And to thy seed after thee will I give the land. We see the blessings restored after God has called them back and cleansed them of their sins. We see the blessings restored. And it's very important that we realize that that they come back to Bethel, which means the house of God. And right now we are in the house of God for the New Testament. And that's a great blessing that we have, that we have a church where we can come here and we can worship God and we can hear the preaching of His word. That should not be taken lightly for us, as it was by Jacob's household in that time. They were neglecting the communion that they have in the house of God, with God. So I just have 3 points of application here. Number one is answer the call to come into fellowship with God. We see that Jacob and his household answered that call. If you're not saved here today, that'll be the greatest decision that you'll make in your life. To come into, you'll have fellowship. You'll be able to enter into God's presence. And it's just done unspeakable things for me, especially going off to Bible college and to answering the call that God has placed on my life. If I didn't have God walking with me every step of the way, I wouldn't be where I'm at right now. So if you're not saved, you need to get saved. But if you are saved, it reminds me a little bit of the story of the prodigal son. If you guys want to turn over there, it's Luke chapter 15. If you are saved and you're dwelling in a far land away from the house of God, God is pleading with you right now and calling you to come back to fellowship with Him. We cannot fathom the love that God has for us. And the want and the desire that he has for us to fellowship with him. So here in Luke chapter 15, we read in verse 22, and it said, But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. So here the son, he's gone off into a strange land, and he says he's wasted his substance with riotous living. He's doing things that he ought not to be doing, things that he knows are wrong. He's not fellowshipping with his father. And his father sees him coming back. The son sees that he has wasted his substance. He knows that he's doing wrong. And he realizes that there's no blessing outside of walking with God. There's no peace. There's no grace. All the things that we need to live a successful life for God. He realizes that he's lacking all of these things. So he comes back and the father sees him. And it says, But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe. God has the best blessings in store for those who come back to him, the ones who fellowship with him. God has blessed me beyond measure. He's provided for me time and time again. He's given me just blessings that I can't fathom. He's doing things right now that I can't even see. In my favor, God wants the best for all of us. And the second there is give up the idols and strange gods. Give up all the things that are interfering with your relationship with God. We need to give up the sins and the idols, the things that we put above God in our life, we need to take those, we need to push them to the side, and we need to be cleansed so that we can come back into fellowship with God. There's no better place than to be walking with God. And then the third point there is receive the blessings that come from having the fellowship with God. God has those blessings waiting for us. All we have to do is just give up the things that we don't need. God has made it clear here in His Word. He has His written down will in this Word on the way that we should live and the way that we ought to commune with Him. It's all written down here. He has blessings in store for us. He will provide for us. He'll give us peace. He'll give us all these things if we just commune with Him. I can't tell you what God has done for me just through prayer and reading His Word, the way that He speaks to us. That's a great blessing in and of itself. So if there's any way that we could bring in the new year, what better way than to be dwelling in the house of God and dwelling with His people and ultimately just dwelling with God and having communion, that sweet communion that we can have with God the way that He intended us to. So for 2020, I'll just wrap it up in this way, that we get right with God. We give up our idols. We cleanse ourselves of our sins. We ask God for forgiveness. And then we come and dwell in the house of God the way that He intended us to and get the blessings that He has for us.